Welcome to the Cornerstone Ministries Sermon Podcast. Each week, you'll hear powerful messages from our weekend services, plus midweek bonus content to help you grow deeper in your walk with Christ. Wherever you are, we want you to know God deeply, find freedom, and be empowered to make a difference for God's glory. To learn more about our church family or to connect with us, visit lifewithcornerstone.com.
Well, hey, church, welcome to After the Amen, where each week we dig into the weekend sermon, talking about how we can live out our faith after the Amen. So, Pastor Paul, this past week we kicked off our new series, our All Church series, your first one.
Yes. Yes, first All Church.
Yeah,
yes,
not your first series.
It's my first sermon I've ever preached.
Whoa. But I remember this was like, it was like week three. I felt like I was like knocking on your door, like, hey, Pastor Paul, we start planning for this in February for the fall. Do you want to keep this?
Yeah.
When you heard we did like an all-church kids all the way up, what were some of your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's amazing. And we did. We dialed it back just a little bit than what my understanding is with Cornerstone and our church is used to doing, you know, with a little bit more organization with the small groups. Just felt that would be a bit confusing doing that. We have Rooted pilot going on with the Rooted experience that we're launching in January. And so we did dial some of those things back, but I think it's a really neat. I see you got your t-shirt on.
I do. I got the shirt.
And people are amazed when they're like, they'll ask me a question and I'll be like, I don't know. So like, I know we talked about t-shirts and printed devotionals. I knew those things were going on in the background, but I was as surprised as everybody this week. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I heard we sold out of devotionals. Did we sell out of t-shirts?
Well, no, we're doing pre-orders. Order. Go online. Order now.
Okay.
You can still do that.
And so they didn't have them in like – physically, you have to pre-order the t-shirt?
We did a fancy pre-order.
Wow.
I think for the staff so we could promo them.
Okay.
So that's why I'm wearing it now.
But I just know one showed up in my office, and so I have one.
Amy hooked you up.
She hooked me up. Yeah.
But no, yeah, you can pre-order a shirt. And in the past we've done like small group videos, but we wanted to really equip people to get into groups, whether it's just with family, friends, if they're in a pre-existing group, because we know we're doing this big push with Rooted coming soon, coming winter 2026.
Yeah.
There's some really cool things coming with that, so stay tuned.
Yep.
But in the meantime, jump into the devotional guide.
Sure.
You can print this for free online.
Great job with that.
And it was a lot of fun to do.
If you don't know, Brandon's the brainchild behind that. So he's our one of his newest roles. He's still pastor and director of young adults. So that's still his biggest piece. But I stole him away from discipleship when we hired JD. And so he's director of content development. So that's his brainchild. Bro, you did a phenomenal job on it. Great job.
Thank you. But Maddie made it look pretty. She really did an awesome thing with
creative
it.
Creative team did do a good job with it.
And what's really cool is Jenny and Joel did a weekly family devo.
Yes.
So if you search Life with Cornerstone on any of the podcasting platforms, you'll find this podcast, but you'll also find Life with Cornerstone All Church.
Nice.
And it'll be every single day, you know, daily devotional, like 3.5 minutes, real quick.
Yeah.
But also a weekly devotional. You can listen with the kids, and there's like parts where Jenny and Joel tell you, hey, pause here and chat.
Oh, that's
so maybe
fun.
In the car to soccer practice or so to the golf course or something
so
like
good.
That.
Hey,
you know, prompt some conversations.
That's good.
But how, I know just talking about it, you joked about how much you love show and tell.
So yeah, that's genuine. I did.
Like
I remember latching on to the show and tell thing. I don't know what it was, man. I just... it brought back this fond memory, and I went back to this moment when I was a kid, and we would get to do show and tell, and I know I've told the stories, and they're all true. Like I love my childhood, and I love my mom and my dad. It was only me. I just had weird hangups and anxiety and stuff, but had some really rough things happen emotionally to me when I was a kid. So when I look back, there's some things that were really fun, and show and tell was a blast, which wasn't me. I didn't want to be the center of attention. So, like, I don't know why.
Yeah, as an introvert with anxiety, you liking show and tell does not add up.
It doesn't add up, but I would love it. I get to bring my toy in, and you get your story together and get to come in. But I don't remember any specific show and tell. I was trying to think of that. I thought that might be fun to work into the sermon. And I can't think of any specific thing that I did.
Was like the first hand radio
Model
T automobile.
Yeah, that was it, Brandon.
Sorry. It's funny though, because my kids, I know you're not that old, but I'm younger than you, so I'm going to trust in that. Okay. But my kids are in that season right now with kindergarten and pre-K. And it's funny because we'll let them know, like, hey, you have show and tell tomorrow.
Do they like it?
They run for their favorite toy.
Yeah.
So I'm dropping, you know, our youngest off and hey, do you have your show and tell? And he just pulls out like a Stegosaurus or like a little Matchbox car.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Or something.
I don't know. I just think it's great. I think it's phenomenal, fun tie-in with the series.
Yeah, it's cool. And this even wasn't even a point of the series, but I think sometimes we take life and we take ourselves way too seriously.
Yeah.
Like just relax and enjoy.
Have some fun with it.
And even so I'm curious, how's it feel coming out of like the heaviness of the Sex and a Broken World series?
Yeah.
And then jumping into a series like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So be really careful here. We worked really hard on the Sex and a Broken World and heard great things from it, but you know, a topic like that is really intimidating and heavy, and each week was heavy. The last one I felt like we gave some really strong, I mean every one of them had some strong hope to it, but I was on cloud nine this week, and I told my wife Kate, I said, I don't know, after the Saturday I was so hyper, and I said, I've got to calm down Sunday. I'm having so much fun with this series and with this sermon. And she's like, yeah, I thought it was really good. And I said, I can't figure it out. If it's the content is so good and God's going to use it, or if we're just not talking about sex anymore and I feel great, I don't know what it is. So, but yeah, I'm waiting
for you to just spend half the sermon just spinning the basketball on your finger. Just
okay. True story. I can't spin a basketball on my finger.
Really?
Have never been able to do it.
Okay.
You can fence
with a golf club, but
I can fence with a golf club. I can do it and get it for just a second, but I can't. I always thought that
was the coolest trick. I didn't care if you could, if you can't make a layup to save your life, but if you can spin the ball basketball on your finger, you're the coolest kid.
Yep. So, well, clearly I wasn't the coolest kid. Thanks for reminding me.
And then
you
get the ones who could like switch hands and stuff. I was like,
oh, that was never me.
Okay, this is all completely worthless conversation, but this time is more for us than you guys, but we're glad you get to listen in. But to kind of stay with the intro, with the show and tell piece, everything like that, you made a comment about how you first fell in love with basketball, and it sounded like something out of a movie. You were like dirt patch with a pole in the wood in the rim.
It's real.
Like, is that when you, it's real. That's how you fell in love with basketball?
It gets even better. So we had a lot beside where I grew up that my mom and dad owned as well. So now it's got a building and it's been sold and other people have a shop and stuff on it down in Alabama.
Yeah.
And so number one, it's in Alabama. It used to be cotton fields, big corn and cotton bean fields and flat. And I got to wanting to play basketball and my dad had a telephone pole that was like cut in half because telephone poles are long.
Yeah.
That he had gotten from his dad that we just drug around with us, as you do, every time we'd move. And we moved a lot when I was growing up. So this telephone pole just went. You can't make this stuff up, dude. Just showed up and would go. We'd move and the telephone pole went with us.
So real quick, I understand, like, because you're into cars. I like carpentry, so I understand, like, the just being a dad, having tools, and you go in, you have that random spare piece of wood from an old project.
You
like, I
it.
Might need that. But half the
ours
telephone
was
pole.
A telephone pole. Ours was the spare telephone pole. And my grandfather, who I am his namesake, his name was Paul Hunter. It was my dad's dad. Never got to meet him. He passed away, sadly, of pancreatic cancer when my father was a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. And he was a carpenter on the Redstone Arsenal in Alabama growing up. And he owned a farm in Tennessee as well, kind of part-time. Anyways, he went on the Arsenal and found some wood, this really thick wood, and cut a basketball goal in the 50s and was going to put it up for my dad, never did. So we had that just was drug around. And I wanted to play basketball, and dad was like, well, we have that telephone pole and that basketball board
so
that my dad cut.
Hunter family heirloom basketball.
Yes. And so he found a basketball rim, the actual metal rim, bolted it all together, measured it. And And I think, though, he got it off because the ground was a little slope. So it was like 10 foot, 3 inches or something like that. And it was grass. And I played, and when I played basketball for it was dirt. I wore the grass out. And you couldn't really do layups really good because the thing was screwed right to the pole. So it wasn't like extended over like a real basketball goal. It's a telephone pole and a backboard right next to it. So if you did a layup, you'd knock yourself out. you just run right into the telephone pole. So I didn't really learn how to do layups till I actually started playing organized basketball because you couldn't. That's why I could shoot so well.
Okay.
And I never was really good at ball handling. I mean, I could do okay, but I wasn't great for a guard, but I could shoot the lights out. Because I'd just stand in the field and I'd shoot on this very unforgiving metal rim that was mounted with lag bolts on the side. And so you was either all or nothing. And so
golly, that's straight out of a movie.
But it paid for my college and a little bit of international travel playing basketball. And what's interesting is like if they were ever, they're not. But if any of my old high school teammates, for example, would ever listen to this, they would go, he was terrible. Because I didn't start playing till my 11th grade year because of my anxiety.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I started playing in my 11th grade year of basketball in high school. That's a whole other neat God story. So I was behind. And so I never got to play. And then my senior year, I tore all the ligaments in my right ankle as the start of the season. So yeah. I only played like one season, never really got off the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went and started – I was like, I'm going to play.
Yeah.
And I would go to open tryouts and everything, and it was God. He put me in a small college. I got to play, and that opened up other doors to do. Isn't that nuts?
That doesn't happen. No, it doesn't. Because I heard a pastor say that this past week, and it's so funny, the timing of this story, and he was talking about evangelism and kind of just being prepared for conversations. And he said, you give God an inch, he'll take miles and miles.
Amen.
So you give him half a telephone pole and the family
half a telephone sheet of plywood and a big piece of wood and a red basketball rim. True story.
Take you to a college scholarship.
That's right.
Man, that's awesome.
Can't make that stuff up.
So I know you had fun with that and like that just piece of falling in love with basketball. But obviously, you know, I knew you would be excited about this series because of its evangelistic nature.
Yeah.
Of just wanting to tell people about Jesus.
Yep.
And I know you could go hours on this, but I guess the SparkNotes version of, you know, we've heard how you fell in love with basketball. How did you fall in love with Jesus?
Mom and Dad carried me to church when I was in my mama's belly, you know. We never had a choice. That's why I always tell parents, get your kids in church. It's not the end of everything, you know. It's not the church's job to raise your children, but wonderful things happen in the confines of community. And I felt safe, you know, looking back on it. Like, I think, you know, because of some of the anxiety and the weird things that the way God built me, I always felt safe at church. These are small country, you know, communities. And and I loved it. I enjoyed it. I fell in love with the church when I was just a little bitty. And at an evangelist by the name of Junior Hill. So we don't really have evangelists much anymore in terms of like traveling.
Professions.
Yeah, the profession, and which I think is a shame. But used to be guys that would go around and would they were just anointed to preach and win souls, and so you'd have a revival. And anyways, Junior Hill was his name. And he came to Prospect Baptist Church when I was 5 years old, and he preached. And I was at 5 years old, I remember. Yeah. And God just got a hold to my heart, captured my heart, and I didn't understand it all. I just knew that God loved me and died for me, and I wanted him. I wanted Jesus. I wanted to be as close as I could to him. And so it's been a love affair for 41 years since I asked Jesus into my heart, and never regretted a second of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I don't know why.
When did you get saved?
It was July 2006, so 19 years, a little over 19 years.
How old were you?
Summer before my freshman year in high school, so I was 14.
So you remember it more than...
Yeah, I had a moment. Yeah, I remember a specific moment. That's in the devotional guide. We talk about like how some people have a moment that they remember,
yes.
And some people it's just this gradual unfolding. It was always there.
Mine was a moment. Yeah. 5 years old, I remember it. Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah, my wife was really young. Yeah, she and I kind of have opposite stories, which is interesting.
Really?
So, but you said something there, and I just want to kind of put a pin in that for later on in the series. But you just said you've always felt safe in church.
Mm.
Some people listen to this, that's not your story at all.
Sure.
Hold on.
Yep.
hold on. I mean, shameless plug. I'm just excited, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach on Nicodemus this weekend.
I'm
excited about it.
Yeah, promo. Brandon's up.
No, I'm just looking forward to it.
It's gonna be good.
It's gonna touch a little bit good. On that, yeah. And I think there's gonna be other messages in the series that are gonna be really good. So I'm looking forward to this series as a whole. But you, really,
I can't tell, by the way, and I love to preach. I can't tell if I'm really excited to hear you or if I'm really excited for a break, because I've been 11 weeks, which is not healthy. So I'm really pumped to just be the host this week and to breathe before I back. Yeah.
So I go and I speak at this one camp I worked at one summer. And what I love about it is I get to go just preach, but I don't have to worry about any of the moving parts.
Sure.
It's very refreshing.
It's totally different.
Is it that feeling of like, I can just be with pastor.
Yeah.
Like,
not I can just this be week with because I'm hosting. As you know, I'm hosting. Yeah. I wanted to host. Hosting meaning I'm hosting the service announcements, all that good stuff. Yeah, and pray. So no, not necessarily this week. I just, today's my big study day, as I've said before. So I'm still working on, now I'm already working on 2 weeks out, you know, for the next one. So it's the rhythm. You got to stay in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just, you know, you get worn out.
Yeah.
And it's just that's not wise. There was a reason that happened that way, but I was like, I'm looking forward to Brandon and I get to get fed. I think that's the big thing. I'm excited about hearing you, man. It's going to be good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're gonna crush it.
I know. I really enjoyed this weekend. And just this is gonna derail us. Hopefully, we don't lose time here.
Okay.
But when I hear a sermon and I don't need to sit and take notes, that's when I know I'm locked in.
Yeah.
Like I just want to sit and listen.
Was that this week for you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote down a couple of things just because of this, of like getting questions. But I'm not like, that keeps me in it. When I don't need to do that and I'm just locked in.
I see what you're saying.
It feels refreshing.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a blast with this one.
Oh, no, it showed. Mm. It showed for sure. And you having the heart of an evangelist and loving this series so much kind of leads me kind of the first real question digging in. But you said, when you put your faith in Jesus, this was early on, when you put your faith in Jesus, one of the calls on your life is to share what he's done for you. And I guess as quick, as succinctly as you can, why is this a call for everyone, not just pastors, not just evangelists, but for everybody?
Yeah. Yeah, the theme verse, right? Acts 4:20, I wrote it out. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. So it's supposed to be a natural overflow.
Mm.
I genuinely believe that there is a gift of evangelism.
Yeah.
Where there are some of us who, there's just an anointing, and when a person opens their mouth and shares the gospel, people get saved.
Mm.
And it's a lot of times, you know, we see those people, whether it's the call of God on the life or that's just the natural place where they go, they do end up pastors.
Mm-hmm.
They end up preaching and speaking. But I do believe that lay people, quote unquote, can have that as well. Someone whose calling is in the workplace as well. But regardless of that, I believe it's our responsibility to share the gospel, because your story is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else has lived your exact journey, you know, with Jesus, and he strategically placed you where we as pastors can't go.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to come to Cornerstone at 6 or 9 or 11 o'clock or to some event to hear us teach and preach. And that's a wonderful thing. I often said, Brandon, a lot of times have said to the folks I have the privilege to pastor, like, hey, bring your friends. And if you're not in a place yet where you're being very public with your faith, bring them here and we'll tell them. I'll tell them. I don't want you to stay in that place though, but just start somewhere and invite and bring. But I think we've outsourced our story to the church. And there's the line that I heard first from Pastor Chris Hodges, who is the Chancellor of Highland College and founding pastor of Church of the Highlands down in Birmingham. I heard him say that people don't care how much you know until they know you care, you know?
Yep.
And so it's not about your personality type. It's about authenticity. And I think that introverts actually sometimes make the best evangelists, because they tend to listen more. They don't have to always speak and be heard. And introverts mm-hmm. tend to be those people psychologically that watch the room and listen and are just seem to be in tuned a little more than the average person. You don't need to be eloquent. You just need to be honest and willing and available. So, yeah, I think that's what I would say to it.
Honest, willing, and available. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. Because I think sometimes we just assume, like, evangelism, sharing your story, is always this kind of, like, street preaching.
Yeah.
Like, meet a stranger. Let me tell you about
megaphone
Jesus.
Megaphone guy, like, or everybody you come in contact with. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Right.
And that 1,000%, that can be effective and sure. people get saved. But, I mean, the evangelistic method that I was taught was win them to you, win them to church, win them to Christ.
Mm, that's good.
Like, let me just show you I'm different.
Yeah.
And then let me show you there's more of us who are different. And then maybe you kind of catch this, well, what's different about all these people?
Uh-huh.
But it starts with that relationship with you.
Right.
Right. And I want to say it's Youth for Christ. That's their whole theme of their story, your story, God's story.
Well, like, I like that.
Hearing their story.
I like that.
Relating to them with your story and then trying to bring them along to hear God's story.
I like that.
And it's like, it's not complicated.
No, it's
you don't
not.
Have to be a theologian or a pastor to do it.
Right.
You know? And that's kind of the heartbeat of the series.
Bingo.
Sharing your story.
That's it. Yep.
You know, Peter's story was so cool, and you did a great job kind of giving us this overview. But just for fun, is there a part of Peter's story you really resonate with, or just that is a favorite moment
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, so I knew you were going to ask this, and I wrote a bunch down, but we don't have time to do this. But I'll just tell you this part of Peter's story. We were joking after the 6 o'clock, as you know, and for folks just to give a little pull back the curtain, after the 6 o'clock service on Saturday and then the 9 a.m., we have a post-service run-through is what we call it. So key people get together, and we just talk through the service just to be as good as we can be. What went wrong? What didn't come across right? Well, just be the best we can be. And so after the 9 o'clock, I was laughing. Pastor Carlos and George, our sound guy, was in there before some of the ladies made it in. And we got to laughing. And so here's what I could tell you all the stories. Peter's such a unique. And then in 2 weeks, I'm talking about Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's Peter's tied into that as well, which is really fun. So there's a billion. What I want is to sit down with Peter and John when I get to heaven. You know where I'm going with this? Like, who? So if you haven't read your Bible much, John, they're like, I don't even know if they were friends, man.
Like, you know what would be interesting? What if imagine someone today hosting a podcast with those two as guests?
They would be
talking over each other.
It would go viral.
Like, eye rolls. Shut up, Peter. Let me talk for a second.
I think that, okay, so you gotta be careful here because people take this stuff way too seriously. But I think that Peter and John, before Christ's death, and even probably some after, I just imagine them as like Christian frat boys. Like, there is no reason in the gospel for John to write, when he references him and Peter, he doesn't use his name. So if you haven't read this, he doesn't use. He references himself as the one who Jesus loved. and Peter. So it's like,
just why? To one up him.
Right. And then
oh yeah, you're there too.
Stuff like when the tomb is empty and he's describing that Mary tells him and they run to the tomb to see, oh my gosh, somebody's stolen our friend's body. Not a funny thing, right?
No.
But there's no reason for him to put in
no theological
and the one who Jesus loved the most, you know, he didn't say that, but the one who Jesus loved outran
Peter.
Like, think about it, man. You tell me I've always laughed and you say, oh no, you're 100 times smarter. God's going to do million things more with you than he ever did with me. So you tell me, Mr. Theologian, why is that in the Bible other than he's just digging at Peter and having fun with him?
Honestly, this is totally left field, but it makes me go to the story of Enoch and King Eglon.
Okay.
And it says in Judges, when Enoch, it says he assassinates King Eglon, and it says King Eglon was so fat that the whole hilt of the blade was swallowed
stuck
up.
Stuck in his belly, yeah.
And then it just says, and the dung came out. So he gets assassinated.
Gross.
And why? There's no theological significance.
Why is that there?
I think because God thinks it's funny.
I think it is too.
I think it's because he thinks it's funny.
Rachel, what do you think? She's like, I can't believe you're talking about
You're married to a wannabe pastor, that's church right. planner, like
wannabe.
You know what I meant. Don't twist it. But he loves teaching and preaching. He's been giving some fire notes in our run throughs.
He's
too.
On. He's yeah, on. Yeah, Jared I like Fernandez. Jared.
If you're in the student ministry,
he's the real deal. Yeah, I'm very proud of him.
What do you think, Rachel?
You she don't know.
Ask Jared. We can let him.
And then I said this at the 11 a.m. Another one is like. When
he threw himself in.
Yeah. He doesn't say, and Peter was, you know, why not say, and Peter was so overcome because he betrayed him. And you know,
there's no romance to it.
Yeah, there's like, we know John knew why he jumped in the water to get to Jesus, even though it was a bit irrational.
Yeah.
But he can't say that. No, he's got to say, and Peter, and even says that he was borderline naked.
Yeah.
Because he says he had to throw his tunic back on. Why say that in there? He's like, here's Peter.
He's just rolling in his eyes while he's writing this.
He had taken his clothes off.
And he threw himself.
Dude, Peter is a mess. And he throws himself into the sea to get to Jesus when it's like, bro, we're like 30 feet off the shore. Just wait.
Wait a second.
So
obnoxious.
Obviously, we're reading into the text. But you asked the question. Yep. I cannot wait to sit down with those guys and just hear them go at it. Because that's what it feels like their relationship.
Oh, my gosh. If you think the Bible is boring, you're reading the wrong one.
Right.
Okay. All right. There's some bigger meat I know we want to get into.
You're like, wish I'd never asked him that.
It happens every week, though. Yeah, right. We get derailed for at least a moment or 10. All right. But you gave us five mindset transformations.
A transformation in your mindset.
So I failed.
Yep.
I'm staying. Mm-hmm. I'm ready, or I'm empowered.
Yes.
And I'm forgiven. Mm-hmm. And a couple questions. I wanted you to unpack this a little bit. The difference between I failed and I'm a failure.
Yep.
And the reason I wanted you to hit that is because, you know, somebody might be listening and think, I've watched my son, my daughter, my neighbor, my friend, they've failed, but they haven't turned.
Right.
So where's the lines there?
Yeah, here's a couple thoughts on that. Great question. I failed is an acknowledgement of an action. I think there's an element of repentance here, and that was the point I was trying to make. I'm a failure is an acceptance of an identity.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I failed is it's leaving room for redemption.
Yeah.
I'm a failure closes the door on redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Satan, you're going to love this. Satan wants to turn your verb into a noun. Here's what I mean. From what you did to who you are.
Yeah.
So Satan wants to take, I made a mistake. I messed up. That's the verb. I did such and he wants to make it a noun. This is your new identity. Here's the lie. So that's failed versus failure. Peter failed, but he didn't become a failure. He became a leader, and God used him. And our culture doesn't allow space for failure. Have you noticed? Cancel culture.
Yeah.
You get one mistake, it defines you forever. We're pulling up tweets and social media stuff from decades ago, and we're canceling you. And so that just bleeds down in everything that we do. But God's grace separates the sin from the sinner. So that's my Reader's Digest version, and I'm really glad that you asked. Failed to failure. So just hold on. If you're that person, or you have that person in your life, man, you just keep praying, because God promises His word will not return void in that. So
hold on to that. Hold on to that for like the next sermon that is themed around identity. Mm-hmm. Hold on to that. Golly, that was good. Mm-hmm. Well, the second one, I'm staying. I want you to unpack that a little bit more, because you kind of use this language of, you know, he left, but Peter didn't get so far from Jesus that Jesus couldn't find him. But how do we resist that urge? Because I think when we do fail, we want nothing more but to just, I want to disappear. Mm-hmm. The embarrassment, the guilt, the shame, whatever you want to call it, just I want to disappear. How do we resist that urge to just run? After we failed.
Yeah, and I highlighted that, right? What was interesting is I didn't say and dig into some of that in every single one. It came out in one particular, I think it might have been the 11 a.m. And I think that's always fun. I wonder if you experienced that, because it's like, man, Holy Spirit needed somebody to hear that particular piece at the 11 a.m. I didn't drill as deep into it. I wondered, like, okay, who's out there? But I think it's surrounding yourself with grace-filled people who won't let you isolate. Guess where you find that? This beautiful thing called the church, right? You keep showing up to church even when you feel unworthy. You keep going to small group. You keep plugging in. You keep serving. Peter stayed with the disciples.
Yeah.
I saw that in the text. It's like, you know what? He didn't run. He stayed. Can you imagine the shame he felt? And I often wonder, did he go back and tell them, or is he sitting there and they're looking to treat him just like they normally would, but he's carrying this burden. And it doesn't say any of the other disciples are there hiding in the courtyard either.
Yeah, we don't know how public that
was. So most likely it was kind of this private thing. And he shows up, he's been weeping, and they're probably thinking, you know, oh, he's broken like us too. So he's not only carrying that, but he's carrying this public persona of like, I've messed up and they don't know what a failure I really am. If they only knew, like, that's probably what was going on. Mm-hmm. And he failed, but he didn't, you know, he never let the Holy, he never stopped letting the Holy Spirit do his deep work in his life. And some prefer the familiar pain of guilt to the unfamiliar freedom of grace doing work in their life. And that's trauma.
Wait. Say that again.
I think that some people prefer a familiar pain of guilt over the unfamiliar freedom that grace provides in their life.
Time to try something new.
And it's trauma, right? It's trauma. So letting the Lord... Yeah, and they don't wait long enough for the restoration. A lot of times we want instant fixes as well, and so we run. And running feels like self-protection. It's actually self-destruction.
Yeah. That's one of there's a line in my it's one of my favorite books called Bo's Cafe. And one of the lines is safe is being able to share the worst about yourself and still having a seat at the table the next day.
It's good.
It's not like a safe space as in like, hey, we're not going to call you out for your stuff. It's a safe space in that you will always have a seat at the table.
Huh. And Jesus already knows what you did.
Mm-hmm.
He's not shocked by it.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that we're to confess our sins one to another.
Yeah.
I think we've lost that in our churches. That's where you find a lot of freedom, is to have those accountable people. That's why we work and we're trying so hard to do this thing called small groups. That's why we're going to be launching Rooted in January. It's not because our small groups aren't good now. We just have to take it to a much deeper level. It's not, and it's like, and I don't even care if we do it in a small group format. I don't care if it's Rooted. I don't care if it's all church. I just want people in accountable, smaller groups of human beings together because this is where the transformation comes. And we don't let each other run and fall off into obscurity.
Yep.
That's the beauty of the church. Yep. It's not just what takes place on a weekend. That's more important, the community of it. So,
and for people who aren't used to church, like, a big church is cool and it's fun and there's more people and they're singing loud.
Yep.
But you can also disappear in a big church.
100%. Yeah. Yep. What's the line? The bigger you get, the smaller you have to get at the exact same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why we're working hard on that. So.
Well, I know we're going to kind of fly through these last couple,
okay.
But I know you're going to crush it. You had a very particular line at the end that was strong when you're getting into this place of being that forgiven, right? So I failed. I'm staying. I'm ready. I'm restored. I'm ready. I'm empowered through the Holy Spirit, and I'm forgiven. And you said this line, when you finally know you're forgiven, you stop living like you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. Do you think that feeling of disqualification ends up being one of the biggest obstacles for people in moving forward in their faith?
I certainly think it's a big one.
Are there some others that come into play?
Yeah. I mean, I think the shame and I think the bottom line, I don't want to get off the question because I do have some stuff prepared to share on that one. But yeah, I do think the disqualification piece is a big one. I also think, and this is why we're doing this series, is a lot of well-meaning Christ followers just don't think about it. I don't think it's this evil conspiracy of I'm going to be disobedient to God and not share my faith today. I just don't feel like we're walking closely enough with God where we hear his voice in rhythm and we have a broken heart for the people that we come in contact with. And here's how you know it. Here's how you know it if your heart is broken for the lost. When something is done to you or some grievances, no matter what, if it's getting cut off in traffic, something silly like that, or something really traumatic in your family, here's how you know if you have a broken heart. Of course, you're going to well up. Of course, anger might pop up. But how quickly does it turn to seeing the broken person behind that behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Is this making sense?
Yeah.
So like Brandon offends me, does something to me. Well, my sin nature says to go... well, I don't like him, or I don't want to do, why would he do that? And I'm going to go talk to somebody about it. I'm going to go talk to my confidant, mm-hmm. and who does he think he is? That's not fair. Sure, you're going to have those things because you're a human, but how quickly does it turn to go, man, but you know what? Yeah, that hurts. But you know what? Man, he wouldn't have done that if he wasn't really hurting on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts my heart. And the second you make that turn, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you, and you begin to see inside into their soul, and you see the brokenness behind whatever was done to you face to face. And that makes you want to then go and love Brandon more, to love you even though you might be spitting in my face and angry and upset. I want you to know the hope of Jesus Christ because you're so, yes, that's just an aside. I think, yeah, fear of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big one. Who am I to tell other people, you know, and when I still struggle, that's a big one. Comparison. where were we? I was in a round table with some fellow pastors a couple last week or something. And we were talking about telling baptism stories, and that there used to be like, hey, let's find the most dramatic baptism stories, and we tell those.
Mm.
And then they started like noticing their baptism numbers were going down at this particular church over, and they started looking into it. And one of the simple things they noticed is because people were going, oh, well, that's not my story.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, they literally said that there was a guy who it was kind of like the, when they were like, okay, we're way too far. He was getting baptized, and he was in a gang in California, and as a 13-year-old had to kill someone as a gang initiation, and then he went through this horrible life, and now he's found Jesus, and he's over here in Pennsylvania, and that, like, that's the story they should. Now, is that powerful? 100%. But that's all they're telling.
The
average person in the seats are going, oh, well, that's not my story. It's compare. I don't have this dramatic story. I think it's a lot of times lack of biblical knowledge. Well, I'm not trained. I don't know how to do it. Maybe fear of rejection. What's the social cost? Mm-hmm. That's a big one. What's the social? Well, I can't do that at my workplace because I will get alienated. Or comfort. It's a lot easier to just be quiet. Can we be honest?
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. It's awkward and weird. And then you alluded to this earlier, past church hurt, you know, I was burned before, so I'm not going to do this again. I think those are all ones. But I would just say that the enemy's greatest weapon isn't making us bad people. It's convincing good people that they're disqualified,
ooh,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'll stop because I know we're running out of time. But
well, hey, to kind of wrap up, and I know you'll be able to do this in a couple of sentences, and I'm sure
if y'all notice Brandon does that when he wants me to give a quick answer.
Yeah, dude.
I've learned that. Six podcasts in or whatever it is, I'm like, okay, we're out of time.
You're catching my cues.
He wants me to do this quickly, yeah.
And now you're making me go longer. No, but I know we're going to have time to dig into this more later on in the series, but okay. I kind of to tease this out, that you joked at the beginning, going back to your show and stuff, between golf and basketball.
Yes.
That you have all this confidence in basketball, but not in the golf.
Right, yeah.
In that same way, why should we have confidence in sharing our story?
Yeah, all jokes aside, here's what I wrote. A couple things. I'm just gonna read it because that way I'll be quick, all right? The power is not in our eloquence. It's in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's the gospel is the power. It's not you.
Yeah.
We are not the message. We're just the messenger. You are not responsible for the salvation of that person. That's God's job. Next thing I would say is that your story is spirit empowered, not self empowered. Same kind of vein.
Yep.
In Christ, we have the Holy Spirit skill, not our own.
Mm.
I have found that the majority of the times, of course, you want to be prayed up and you want to have strategies and things that you can say and be able to articulate your story well and find passages that maybe you memorize, you can lean on. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit has to show up and he will give you things to say that are supernatural. Acts 4:13, tells us that they recognized Peter and John not by their skill and their giftedness. It tells us that they had been with Jesus.
Uneducated.
That's the qualification, bro.
Yeah.
Have you been with Jesus?
Come
and the
on.
Same spirit that raises Jesus from the dead lives inside of you and will raise you. And the last thing I'd say is confidence comes from knowing that I was once I was lost, now I'm found. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to go get some bread. So,
come on.
How was that?
It was good.
If I could do that for every question, this thing would be like 15 minutes long.
Bang, but we'd still go long because of random stuff.
Well, you're a talker.
You're right, and you're not. Church, I hope you enjoy this. I hope you come back for the rest of this series because we got a lot more good stuff we want to dig into. But we will see you next time if we don't see you sooner.
See y'all.
Thanks for joining us at the Cornerstone Ministries Sermon Podcast. If you have questions about Cornerstone, your faith journey, or you need prayer, please visit lifewithcornerstone.com to get connected.